This is beginning of Channel One Right. Beginning of Channel One Right on a new reel. I'm setting it up free. I'm setting it up free. Right. I'm setting it up as a free reel. Free reel. This beginning of a new reel, Channel One Right. The new reel, Channel One Right. I'm setting it up as a free reel. This beginning of a new reel, Channel One Right. I'm setting it up as a free reel. Beginning of a new reel, Channel One Right. I'm setting it up as a free reel.
Well, I'll write Russ. Over here's a good place, and I'll sit here. I'll rub him up.
Where's Boss Man?
I'll be back time. He's around.
I get a chance to sit in this good chair today.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my shirt.
Oh, that's Boyd. How you doing?
That's
you met him though, didn't you?
Yeah, me and him been met. You introduced me down at Bill Wynn long ago.
Oh, Wynn's, you got to know him down to Wynn.
What's that out there?
I brought that along off from your wife, $75. You $100.
She took you up on it, I hope.
No, she said she's going to leave it up to you. Said she didn't like to spend that little bit of money. Bet you spend $100.
An opportunity like that, you better not really change your mind, didn't you?
The other thing about it is, don't you think, though, that you do need.
Anyway, because it's your bedtime, I think.
Guys, Mr. Mitchell, run your phone out of your house?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why we figured that what
I said,
figured,
well, you just got
what's
disgusted
you
with
can't
them and
get
said,
it.
The heck with it, you
that
know.
You can't get to, use it.
No, you can't.
And they, we couldn't get you because she said, well, it's been discontinued at that number. At least, I think that's what she said. It said something about it. That
it
wasn't
ain't been discontinued, at least the last I know, except that it's very difficult to get in.
Yeah.
I know, but when the operator comes on and says it's no more, that's the end of it.
See,
wrong.
I'm glad we heard this stuff last night.
Yeah.
It was the most theatrical. The last was theatrical. And he had it with electronic business, you know,
yeah.
And a record, and somebody sang, and he played this very modern stuff that didn't harmonize with the voice.
You have never seen such a cut up in all your life.
And
he'd
then,
sit there and he'd go bang!
And with
bang.
His arms sometimes,
you know,
with
like
his arms like that. And then he takes the top of the piano and bops it down, you know, to make the noise. And then when he turned the lights low, he was playing this way, see? He turned around the artist, and the lights were very dim. We could barely see him. He was up like that, see? And then the thing was hollering, help, help, you know, the radio, the sound,
yeah. Yeah.
And all the electronic, vroom, vroom, all that noise, you know. And he held up like this, like that, and then he made funny noises himself. And turned around, and then he'd play something there. And yeah, and then he clapped his hands like that. And anything you can think of. Then he played one, out brought you the program, I say, with a stopwatch. And sometimes just
a lot of it
was three or four, a whole suite or something. And then just two or three notes, and then you'd look at the watch and wait.
Yeah.
And then just wait.
I told Bob.
After a while, they play two, three more notes.
Don't
and
you
look
ever
at the watch
complain
watch.
When I bang the pots and pans and the dishes, you know, when he gets to practicing and I get tired of it. And I get in the kitchen and start raising a racket, you know, and stop him. I said, it sounds just like this modern music.
Well, I'm glad I heard it because, you know,
never believe it.
I've heard turned on Bach and some things like that.
But this was out of this world for modern stuff.
Then we've heard the Boston Symphony group down here, the Chamber Music Society, play some very modern things.
And they weren't anything like
this. There's nothing like this.
No, I know this one was an all-out. I know.
Where was that, Robert?
It was in the auditorium.
Yeah. His name's Bunga.
Bunga.
Yeah, Richard Bunga.
Richard Bunga.
Yeah. That's all I noticed.
Did you, something that you would have enjoyed, I went to... A night before, well, it was a history lecture, and the man was head of the history department at Miami University, and it was excellent.
Yeah,
it was really excellent. You would have enjoyed that.
Well, we have
except
nothing
the room was
you know,
so cold
no
that
no,
I was frozen. I was just like this, and I had on a coat.
Yeah, I'm teaching.
A coat, and I was just like that. It was just frozen. I'm teaching in a building.
And Beckett first got one
the,
job, and so we said,
Architecture
and
Fine Arts this summer, you know, because
so,
air conditioning.
Judy was gonna
and
wait
it's so
go
cold
down the
that sometimes
July
you can't stand it.
And come
just
back
barely can get through. You just chill. And you go out in the hot sun, it feels wonderful.
He said that another job was open, so for Judy to come too.
Oh,
so we got them off. We're not hearing anything from them, but they're down there.
They don't have any children. All three,
three of them
children are in
South America.
Down at Becky's.
Teaching.
And poor Linda is in Tampa.
Well, now that's what you thought they might do.
Yeah. And then it turned out just one of them, and that would go to Nancy. She's. But then Becky called up long distance from there and said that if Judy would like to teach, she's got a place for her at the same school. It became available.
Yeah.
So I answered for her and said, yes, she'd be delighted. and so she was.
So we got them all off.
Because she'll have to spend the money down there, you know, $300 in pesos.
They can't bring it, any
can't
of
bring
it back
out.
In.
Yeah.
Oh, they can't.
So
no.
She has to spend it down there.
And that
would be lovely, you know, to go and spend $50 and
$100. That's right,
$300.
Isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of pesos.
That's right.
Pesos, that's 6 cents of pesos. Pesos.
No, 6 cents. They're about, how many
well,
are men a dollar?
About 15 or 16 pesos in a dollar, and there are 300 of those, so that's 50 or 16 times 300.
They can just throw it to the four.
We went to three of the English, the writers'
you
things.
You should have gone to those
and
things.
There were four of them.
You mean they weren't good?
Ooh, they were horrible,
well,
except
Ryder
for one.
Did the first one, and he rambled from hell to breakfast. You have never
or
heard
it was
such
just
rambling
a
in all your life as he did. You know, just organized mess. And the last one was John Crow Ransom, and he is so old and so in his dotage until he just doesn't know what he's doing.
He just.
He got up there like Robert Frost at the end, you know, reciting his own poetry.
You know, we teach Captain Carpenter.
He lost.
You remember that,
he said
Captain
he left
Carpenter?
Him somewhere, and so he had something playing, but he didn't get around to it.
Listen to this, Faye. The man, Captain Carpenter, loses his nose. Then he loses his ears and arms and finally leg and then finally his heart, bit by bit. So we draw the conclusion somehow that he's a man out enters the world, and as he gets into things, he loses his morals, you know, his high standards of ethics and so forth. And every time he loses a limb or a nose or ear or something, why, he loses one of his morals. Like a girl comes and she doesn't smoke. She comes to the university and then she picks up smoking. Maybe she has good religious background, she loses her religion and that sort of thing, you know. And Ransom said, I was graduate assistant for him when years ago here, you know, for John Crow.
Oh.
And he said at the place, and I hadn't heard him say this before, said, well, said, I don't know what I mean by that, except that I guess the fella has a lot of courage. Yeah, we making up all this junk, you know, and telling the students all this.
And he didn't know what he had in mind in the first place.
Yeah, he said he didn't know what he meant by that poem. Never quite sure. Yeah, we are sure though what we my interpretation
for.
You
sure what he meant?
I had it all written out, you know, in the book, in the study guide, just what he means.
Yeah, that's what Byron Walker figured out he was supposed to mean.
Yeah, Byron and old Alton, you know. And Phil Bradshaw, they got it.
Found out. He wouldn't recognize his poem if he heard it in freshman English.
No, what in the world?
What are you talking about?
Well, he might do him good to go and
family
find out what he means.
You know, the children came and it got so hot, and Missy had to take a shot, a smallpox shot, and it took. So they stayed, they came down a day early for him. The reason he came down on Saturday instead of Sunday was the weather. He said he couldn't avoid it till Sunday.
But he flew down and got him.
And they said they hadn't been over to the league.
When I saw Jean one night, she said that Miles and Missy had been here. Mm-hmm. She thought they had gone on.
We sat next to Herbert's at their couple of the lectures, I believe. No, Barnes are back in town.
Yes, I saw them.
You did?
The other day. They bought a little house.
Butt into them the first one we went to. They were getting out of the car in front of us, and I didn't recognize her, but I recognized him and his pipe.
Oh, Lord, that pipe smelled so terrible.
Jack dragging out of that car
awful.
With that pipe.
If you have ever sat next to him at one of those registration meetings years ago, you know, and he just smells of that pipe from just nausea. Then you smoke it.
Say, I tried the other day to get you at home up in town. After Bob said your phone was cut off at you, and I tried to get you in town, and nobody would answer. Of course, you weren't there. You couldn't very well answer. But,
We just went to a movie and got back.
Tell them the name
no,
of it.
No, I won't.
I'll tell them the name of it.
No, don't tell them.
Why not?
Let them guess it.
We wouldn't know.
It's an immoral name.
It's what do you say to a naked lady?
We heard that it was just
and there were
marvelous.
Plenty of them.
Just marvelous.
I've heard from two or three sources. It
was so funny and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
And it was. And then when we were going in, Penrod and his wife had been in to see it, and they were waiting to go back in and
funny.
See the first of it. Oh, it was just marvelous, they said. Well, I just didn't quite see it.
I didn't see it either. I'm so bored with it, I don't know what to
Bob
do.
Bob was, you know, you remember this Alan Funt that used to be on.
Yeah, I know. It was pornographic.
Well, that's
you know.
What it was. But it was what people's reactions to these things, you know, that these operators they see walking around with no clothes on.
Men, women, is just I just got boring. Really, got terrible.
Some of them write clever things to say about it, though.
One thing Andrew said that tickled me. He rambled all. He covered the world and heaven too, and he said about heaven.
History and everything.
He called heaven. He said, "Well, heaven's no democracy. you know, God's a dictator. But just out of a blue sky, see, nothing seemed to fit a dovetail. And then old John Crow, poor fellow, so old.
Andrew hadn't looked at his notes for a long time.
He read nearly everything he said. He had it all
he
written
read
out,
it.
But it was so disorganized and rambling.
Well, everybody knew, just felt sorry for him.
Of course, he gave
so
all the
poorly
organized,
the just about nothing. Everything and nothing.
Yeah,
it sounded like a commencement
address. And all that kind of stuff, you know, that type of thing.
You know how they sound.
That crazy looking. What's that boy's name? That Harry Cruz.
Yeah,
he sat
there
with his funny long hair, you know, big glasses, and
oh, everybody was at those things. Taylor, you know, and and Audrey Williams, Aubrey Williams.
Aubrey
and,
Williams was there. He
and,
made one of the introductions.
Fred O'Connor. And all our group, you know, a large number of our group, and English was there. And
English had charge of it the last night.
Last
Jean night. Was gonna serve. She looked. She had on one of the prettiest dresses that Claire have ever seen.
Oh, really?
It was just beautiful.
She's really dressing up these days.
You
and
know,
she
I
had
didn't
her hair
it.
All fixed
I didn't
up. Bob
it.
Didn't notice it, but it was a gorgeous. It looked like a silk. I mean, it was the silk type thing.
I didn't even see it.
And it was
I didn't.
Black and had some gold.
I had gold feet.
It was just beautiful. And she had a hair all done up, some curls. And,
well, Mary, I think everything's going to suit you then.
What you mean everything's going to suit me?
Well, everything you're reporting tonight is right favorable.
Yeah,
so
yes, I would say
pretty
so.
Pretty good, I'd say.
Yes.
Hadn't got any children.
And I got no.
Well,
nobody
we have
around.
The two boys there.
We got the two dogs.
The two boys in the car now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I see the dogs.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I'm preparing for the onslaughter when they all come
well,
back.
No,
I don't know
three of them come.
And Becky and Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
And
then
be
four all together.
Two parrots.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll have to rest up.
And Judy said, when you meet us, the only thing she's written since she's been down is when you meet us, bring a big U-Haul it, van, because we're going to bring back so much.
You know, maybe we better do that when we're there, get there. Now, that's a good idea. We can get a U-Haul it.
Well,
and,
you can't put the dogs and the children in the U-Haul it, so you'll have to have two cars to get them back.
Well, there'll be three of them. That'd be five and two dogs. I mean, one dog.
And all their stuff.
And two parrots.
And their stuff.
Well, we can put the stuff in the U-Haul it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to be a mess.
And we're thinking about taking the two cars, you know, but the little VW doesn't carry anything. That's just like
a suitcase.
Little
carry turnip. He's the only one I want to get out of. Becky's dog. You know, the
dogs
other dog
always.
Died down there.
Oh.
Nail died.
And the guagua died.
The guagua drowned.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't know about that.
Well, he was, it was sort of a guinea pig or something, like
that,
a big, huge guinea pig. And they had him there for a
pet. I want to ask you something.
Yeah, and he drowned. And Becky said that Anna, the maid, begged for him to take out to her folks.
A gopher in Tennessee is a large rat, generally, isn't it? In Tennessee? Well, in here, down here, I think we speak of gophers as turtles. The dictionary says they're both, a turtle and a rat. Now, but I was just wondering about locality. I heard in Knoxville somebody say a big gopher there, meaning a rat. And down here, I think they speak of gophers as turtles. A gopher, they have these mounds, you know, and say that's a gopher mound. And I think it's a turtle mound.
I thought they called these old Florida muddy-looking turtles gophers.
You don't
I'm
know.
Not sure.
Well, I thought a gopher was a prairie dog.
Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said either
well,
tortoise or
down under the
rat.
Ground, I
guess rat won't. Rat like thing.
I know that you say gopher.
The dictionary is becoming more and more dispensable.
Yeah, that's right. Really, it is.
And
they do their best, but they
we just can't get back in.
Herman Spivey was there.
I introduced
Herman. That's the first time I've ever met Herman Spivey. After all these years, I've heard about him ever since Bob was there, he getting his M.A.
and Marilyn typed, you know, that thing, and he commented. Now, you be sure to thank her. Herman said when
oh,
I, worked, I did it under him, you know what I mean?
I didn't see him there one night, though.
No, I don't think he's there but one night. That was that first night when Lytle held forth. I drove him away, I'm sure. Because Herman's a good scholar.
Yeah.
And when he heard that, I don't believe he could put up with any more. I don't see how anybody could stomach any more, really.
Well, we went back.
Andrew's a nice person. He's a nice person. I like him. It's just unfortunate that I guess he's a good writer, but not this type of writer.
And entertaining, just sit around and talk.
Yeah. I like him. I like him immensely. I never will forget once he was in the office and we were talking, and I had my plaque of Lincoln, you know, up there, you know, the bronze thing. And he said, "Who is that?" Because I amazed me that he'd asked that. I'd heard that he didn't like Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, because of his Southern tradition. You know. And I said, "Well, it's Abraham Lincoln." I said, "Lee ought to be able to hang a Lincoln with impunity." That's my favorite expression about mine. Ought to be able to hang a Lincoln with impunity. He didn't crack a smile.
Wow. He didn't see the fun in that.
No, he didn't see any fun in that.
I remember getting along fine. When's she coming down?
I don't imagine she'll be down this summer. She stayed a good while this spring.
Yeah.
They're not coming to the beach?
Well, the ones who come in have already been. And then the big and little Hurleys are going over to England for a couple of weeks.
You mean LF and Francis?
And the little Hurley. They're going on
the
business.
Little, huh?
Don and Marie and the little family.
Oh, yeah.
They're going on business, and the family's just going along with them.
Who's LF's going on business?
And Don.
And Don.
Taking the rest of them along for the ride.
That's right. That's right. So they won't be coming down, I don't think.
Well, I've been working on my place, building it up. We got a fellow
door
that's
a
skier.
Next door that loves to ski, and
he's got
a
great big boat with
lake.
An inboard motor. And he tears out there, and...
And tears Bob to pieces.
Well, right next to the fence, there's a place about 20 feet that he's washed about 6 feet away, and so I have a pile of pond fronds in that to...
What, we'll wash?
Huh?
You know, when he comes in with his boat, it goes like that.
And the waves wash.
The waves come in. And
I have it built out anyway, you know. So I had to pile in palm fronds to keep it from washing.
Let him wash. And poor man wants to enjoy his place.
Well, it's all right. I've got it protected now.
We're building a seawall down there. But I've got it built up.
Well, last spring, what happened was the water came over there. We had high water on the lake. It came over there. So I added a 3-inch block. I've added a 3-inch block, about that size. I raised it just that much to protect it against the water that was lapping over and washing on the other side. And I had to fill in on my land side because it was filled anyway, because it washed a little hole, big hole, about like that. So I put cement down in there and stuff. It's nice now, really nice.
Now,
it's flat, too, just like this
y'all
floor.
Y'all should have been out there the other week. Mary was out on a dock and somebody almost took her off.
That's
and
right.
She
yelled at him.
She was so mad. She was screaming at him.
Yeah, if she'd leaned over, he could have pulled in. Whoa, she screamed at him.
You just can't trust
her? She just says, hey, like that. And he's gone, zoop, like that. You know, they go at terrific speed, those skiers.
Well, I don't think it's fair to have all those skiers.
It
is.
It
they're
really
not
isn't.
Supposed to come that close.
And then they mark
they,
up the lake, you know.
They're always supposed to be
the
that
boats
they
do
stay
too.
So many
so
feet
sail
out,
boats over there.
Feet out.
They what?
Mark it, put markers in the lake, you know, and anchor them.
Well, that's on the other side.
No, it's in the middle.
Huh?
I'm talking about it's in the middle.
Isn't there any place we can get away from?
You all have
it. Coming
I
out
come
here tonight.
Have
your
it.
Guys
don't
got
me.
The only place that you have to have a place like guys if you want to give you away.
The privacy
home.
And
well,
you have it. Yeah,
you
can play the
ball.
Piano at midnight and play your radio. You don't care how loud you play it. When I play the piano, and I say every day, I turn on the air conditioned fan, sort of. Smother the sound, mute it, you know.
And close up all the windows so that
turn
the
air conditioner. So it doesn't bother, you know, because it sounds loud. Or
well, God has problems out here.
Well, he doesn't have, he has privacy.
He doesn't have neighbors.
I don't have any of those boats, but now at night.
Can
but
you hear
got
them?
An old hoot owl out there in the tree that's bothering you?
Oh, I've got those air boats.
Where are they?
Oh,
back on leave, back on the prairie?
The fish prairie?
Coming right in your window.
Oh, they're the loudest things
I've
ever heard.
They
never
quit.
They
just
you know
go
what they're
on
doing?
And
they're
on.
Lord, I would have said, this is amazing. I would have said, God has the one ideal spot in this world.
I hate to puncture that balloon.
I said, coming out, I thought about it so many times, how wonderful it is. You can just park
quiet,
yourself in the middle of this, quiet, and you can shout and scream and call. I know. But then it's quiet, nobody's radio and boats are bothering you.
No, that's right.
I guess we got it. That's as near as you can get.
Mm-hmm. the boat, one of those airboats went down out on the lake there.
Oh, they make a terrific noise.
And you have never heard such a racket in all your life as those things make.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It seems that's a half a mile away, isn't it, for the to the fish prairie?
Oh, it's 3/4 mile, and then they're way over on the other side.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're right in your
And always they go all night, you know.
Why do they go all night?
Those things, they should have been outlawed from the very beginning. You see, it's an anarchy. It's anarchy. That's all that is, anarchy, Robert.
Well, that's so much of that. That's, I'd say that about these skiers, too. They ought to outlaw them.
Anything y'all don't like, it's anarchy. I don't care what it is.
Well,
have you got figs ripe?
Yeah. Well, I haven't even started.
Right.
I was
just
this
little green nubs. You reckon something's wrong with them?
You gonna have some figs?
We don't have about a half a dozen.
We'll have about 50.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they're gonna get ripe for some reason. They don't get enough sunlight, perhaps.
Ripe, yeah.
Well, yours get so much sun. I guess that's it. 4th of July
is the peak.
It's supposed to be. But now we had a lot of cold weather. And it held them up.
It has been sort of.
I guess I was in the shade. That'd make a big difference, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not entirely.
No, I guess a little morning sun.
All that cool by that last spring, too.
Well,
but they're just little nubs, about like that, and look dry.
All of a sudden, I think they start puffing up and then get ripe.
Yeah.
They do. Oh, my goodness.
Now, you don't want to skip fig season.
I said today, I said that to that girl, Vivian, you know, who's working there. I said, now you take, you live in the city, you don't have all this. I had to chlorinate the well, I had to do the drain field, put copper sulfate in that, had to, under the kitchen, you have to run the hose up there to keep that thing clear for your kitchen sink, and soften the water. That water is just something else. To keep everything running out there so it's, you know, usable and good. In the city, you just turn it on, turn it off.
And pay.
Well, yes. Well, I pay, too. I pay through the nose for this thing. I paid more for my pump and all those facilities than I would pay for water for a lifetime in the city.
Yes.
That's really so.
You've got a plant out there.
That's right, a plant. And I put in two wells, and I'm never through because I'm always chlorinating, and then the softener doesn't work, and
doesn't work.
Shoot.
And what do you do? Just knock yourself out working in order to...
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it meant.
Now, the other morning, Saturday morning, I had several things to do. I didn't do any of them. The pump started running down there. Well, when it does that, it won't cut off, or cuts off and runs again. I go the rounds to see what's leaking.
Yeah.
Well, the simplest thing is this commode in here. But it wasn't that. It wasn't any other commode. And that was, we had a big rain on Friday, and but there was too much water standing in that lane. It came to me. It didn't take long. That plastic pipe that I put across there going down to the corral had sprung another leak.
Oh, really?
I got Mr. Eastman up here. He got some pipe fitting tool.
Mm-hmm.
And we just took out that plastic pipe, and it's patched like an old beverages.
Really?
Clear across there is patched.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a defective piece of plastic.
Yeah.
It must have been.
I've never had any trouble with mine that he put in for the second time. It was a great big pipe.
Yeah. Well, we put in the galvanized.
Yeah.
And that went my morning.
Yeah.
And all those other couple of things that you were going to do didn't get done.
My morning, and it cost us pipe, and I had to pay Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
And he's going off on a vacation, so he's a little higher than you.
Yeah, that always off.
After all, you got to help him get away.
He's going to stay 3 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to get me, I don't know what you all are going to do, but I'm going to get me a tent. Yes, sir.
on his property.
A little tent.
Yeah.
Well, Carol and Tina was in the office yesterday. They've been on a trip up to Winnipeg, camping, if you please. I said, did y'all pull that little trailer that had a little sort of half-sized trailer that they used to go in? She said, no. Said, we lived in tents. She and Mac and two of the children. And she said she wore shorts the first day out, and she froze to death all the rest of the time. Said it was so cold, and said that the rain came and turned the tent over. It was an awful time, so you can't be, you better not get a tent.
Jim Neal says this house is a certain thing, and it stays that way all the time, the temperature. That's nice. Now, y'all could do that in the city. And you, there you have police protection against noise. I mean, if somebody runs a airboat right out down the street there, where you can send out, call the police and get it
make
stopped.
Make all your neighbors mad at you for reporting them for being so noisy.
Well, you can move to the city and pull all the shades, turn on your air conditioning, and just be a mole.
Yeah, and then, but no, you can go to the lectures. We've been going at least to all these things.
They're all terrible.
Huh?
They're all terrible.
Oh, well, it's going. You get out. At least you get out.
Have you seen that new museum they're building over there on the campus?
On the outside of it.
That's all we've seen.
Rain we had the other day, last week. I saw Ed in the grocery store, and he said, have y'all been out to see the museum? I said, no. He said, well, it's all mud, blah, blah, in the middle of the street.
Washed it
all day. Said, nuts built the thing and, you know, got the sod on the side. Then when it's dry weather, they have to water it to keep it green, and when it's wet weather, they have to pick it up off the sidewalk, plaster it back up. It's the funniest looking place I have ever seen in my life. Oh, it's Aquarius looking.
I won't go
out. Right, jam up in the corner. Where do they expect people to
park?
It's all down under there, I think.
Mm. Well, you know, I got claustrophobia anyway. I'll never go in that thing. It's much like a grave.
Isn't it funny looking though?
What's the name of this piano tuner that wrote me a card?
I thought it was Webb, but it's not.
No,
Webb,
no,
Sujin,
no,
said
that's
she
not
had.
It. Call the name of something. Watts, I guess.
Watts.
Anyway, he's. I thought he was pretty sorry he left my piano out of tune when he went home. He did a lot of good, but he did. He left, for instance, octave B, I believe it was. I don't know why he'd do that. Unless he wanted to get back to
Well, he wrote you a card and said it was time to tune it again. Maybe he knows he left it out too. He's going to go back and fix
it. Well, I figured that. I just figured that, really.
Oh, goodness.
But what do you think of his tuning?
I don't know him. I mean, I know him, but I don't know anybody's tuning.
Well, who's the best one?
Well, I don't even. He's tuned. He tuned this little one out here for me.
Who, Webb?
Once.
Did he do a good job of it?
Well, it's awfully out of tune now.
Well, no, when
he
finished.
Well, I think he's a fair tuner, yeah.
What did he charge? May I ask you?
I don't remember.
Now, this fellow charged me $20.
That's a little high.
I thought it was,
Bob
too.
Bob Kelly just charges me $12 from Jacksonville.
Well, I thought it was high, too. I'm going to try see if I can get somebody else, because I wasn't happy with the way he left this. Well, if he's at the university,
no,
does it?
He's not.
He's not?
I mean, no, he's
well, there's somebody that does the university pianos.
Yes.
What's his
I
name?
I have to stop and think what his name is.
Let's write down Webb.
I can remember Webb. All right. I don't have to write down. That's all you know. You don't know his first name, so maybe he's listed in the yellow pages.
Did he come out here and tune your piano way out here?
Yeah.
You'd have to, because you couldn't take it to him.
You can't go through that.
Well, it's awful to be like you people. You see, we are like you now. We don't have any folks except the two boys in the car. And Lord help me, we that's why we're getting out and going to these things, you know.
Every night
movies.
I get home from my hard
Let's
day
go.
At work at 5 o'clock. Where are we going tonight? Oh, don't get your shoes off. Don't change your clothes. We got to go.
I want to get out. You're bound to get some good things occasionally.
Well, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, even if you don't get any good things,
at least you
get
out.
You can make fun of
them. Yeah, you can laugh about them. I don't misunderstand about Andrew. I like the man. I like him. He just wasn't a lecturer, that's all.
Well, that
not
wasn't
that night,
night
anyway. Maybe. That wasn't his night, let's say. And I like John Crow. I think he's an excellent poet. It's just he's in his dotage. He's right good, right funny. I got something out of it. That's about that Captain Carpenter. All I can say about it is he was a courageous man. That's what I'm going to hand my student. We'll read it, and the poet who wrote it says, all I can say, I don't know what to make of it, all I can say is he's a courageous man, and that's it. What more you want? That poet says that.
Yes, sir.
I was telling Herbert, you know, coming back from Augusta, he and I were talking
about
Dunn.
Oh.
I didn't tell Guy about it.
I'm talking to Faye about the phone book.
we're talking about Dunn, and he said, well, he actually said, I said, I don't think the man means that for some reason. And he said, but he actually said it and quoted me. I think about it so often, actually, when a man says that, like Hardy, he doesn't. Half the time, he changes his mind. Now, I was telling Herbert about that. I said, people just like Hardy and Wordsworth, you know, and Tennyson late. And Ransom said, well, during the course of his lecture, said, well, I used to think that, but I don't anymore. Something he'd said, you know, about the poem. He said, I used to think that, but I don't anymore. And Herbert looked at me, you know, because we had been talking about that. That the Dunn case.
Remember Wallmeyer.
It's in the piano tune, and I think Webb's name is J.O. Webb.
Well, Wallmeyer, is he the one at the university?
Yeah.
You can't get him unless you sign up for about 2 months ahead or something like that. He's busy.
I think Webb's name's J.O. If that's not his name, they can tell you down at Littles. We used to work down there. He may still work out of the
Bob, we must get.
Yeah, let's go there. Well, we got.
Well, in the morning is a work
day,
morning
yeah.
for me and
well,
a class morning for him.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Marilyn, you just can sit back and look forward to what's coming.
What's coming?
Dogs.
And
two
pairs. Three girls,
and
one
two
dog.
Parrots, and a
one
dog.
Dog.
Another dog,
two parrots, and three girls.
And then you won't be bored. You'll have something
always.
To think about.
Won't be able to go to lectures.
You got
a
whole July. Got the whole month.
You won't
July.
Need to go to lectures then.
I got
have
a funny
time.
Combination. I'm teaching. This is just moments. I'm teaching. Full time, which turns out to be two classes instead of the three at the end.
Which
and I'm getting 75% pay. Generally, we get half pay, you know. But this time, I'm getting 75% pay because they had a little extra money there. And teaching full time, which in this case was supposed to be three sections in this two. It goes quickly. 75% of what I would normally get in the year. So that's a queer combination, though.
We heard somebody, we were hearing the Advocates the other night about women's liberation or something.
Yeah.
Something was said about.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They asked this girl about professors, said something about professors. She said, well, my opinion is that professors don't work anyhow.
Don't work full time anyway.
Don't work full time anyhow.
That's right. So they don't work.
Everybody gets hollered.
Isn't that what you and I say all the time? That's what I think when I think about my job and his.
Well, I teach 2 hours, 3 times a week. That's enough.
Ain't that awful?
To get only 75%.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to put Claude Kirk on him. He'd tell him about it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Then he really would. Would he give you a chance?
Stop calling TV's poor lovely.
Robert?
Yeah.
You know, I keep thinking I'll come by there and see that railing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't get by.
Well, you come by. We an awful lonely old couple. Yeah. We're right by ourselves.
I wish you would.
All right. Well, I need to see that.
Don't go out.
We need a lot of cheering up.
Well, there it is.
A very pleasant surprise. Robert and Marilyna dropped by. We just came in from, I don't know, someday, hot, overcast part of the time. The poor little heifer, two vets worked on her all morning. I don't know. Then Frankie came. I don't know. I just not up to it. That's all there is to it. And this is Thursday, the 2nd or 3rd of July. Thursday, the 2nd of July, 1970. Thursday, the 2nd of July, 1970. This is Channel 1 Right, 550. Channel 1 Right, 550.
About to burn up here.
Woo!
I didn't think maybe y'all been. He said about 2 or 2:30. I didn't know where.
Well, we just got in and we had to.
I kind of slept late this morning, so then I went on up there to Willie to see what he's going to do and got up there, and you know how it is. You get talking and he hadn't been long got up and he had to sleep kind of late, you know, to get his rest. Kind of makes it a little difficulty, so I had to talk.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Now, what was that? Sit down just a minute and get some rest. I want to go out there with you. Just a minute. They give us a little drink or something.
I was giving. I just got them drinking a Pepsi Cola. Yes, I think just the same.
Well, do you mind if we have a drink of water?
Oh, man.
Lord, it's hot out there. I've been waiting the next
time. Y'all just go ahead and have a sip.
No, we just don't drink.
I ain't in that big a rush, but like Willie said, we're going to have to get that stuff cut out and we can get it fertilized, because I hope we can get that stuff cut.
If he can fertilize it, he don't have to wait till he cuts it down to fertilize it.
No.
Just so he goes ahead and fertilize it. I mean, cuts it down, you know. I mean, you know, there's no...
Well, he told me that if I didn't get on, said we'd go ahead and fertilize it. Yeah. I knew that, but, you know, a lot of people don't want you to do it, though. Get that stuff on it more, you know, make it rough.
Yeah, that won't hurt. That's right, I don't think it hurts. Well, I hadn't thought about that.
A lot of people won't do it. I mean, wouldn't do it, but just a little, I don't think while it's dry wouldn't hurt. Now, if it must have come up a little rainy, your ground would be wet or something. That stuff stick under there, you know.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about what you said last night. Give him a little something to drink.
I just got a drink Pepsi-Cola, no kidding.
I didn't ask you, I asked Faye. I asked Faye to give you a little something to drink. Then you can drink it or throw it out or just let it set.
Well, I hate to be out of the way, but I'm probably going to might have to let it set.
Just let it set. Yeah.
I just got on drain Pepsi-Cola, bottle in on the seat.
Let me tell you, you know, when we come out of there last night, I thought it was right interesting. I thought you had made pretty good showing over there, and you...
Man, I ought to... 2 hours and a half time, Miss Miles, I ought to have that thing done.
Yeah?
Oh?
So I thought I'd kind of done a bum job. I told Willie, I said, I hope we get that thing fertilized. Nobody won't notice it. He said, why? Well, you don't leave none of them streaks and then all that old seed and stuff because it's going to make it bad. I said, well, there's some left in there because I couldn't keep that and keep my back on that thing all the time. Got to see where you're going. You can't... I can back all right that way, but I can't go front without seeing.
Well, that's your trouble. Yeah.
I can back. I can look at anything. Because I know where my tractor is out there.
Yeah.
But when I'm backing, it don't bother me. But when going forward. But, well, I don't know. If it'd been where I could have just, you know, set the thing at one gauge and kept going,
yeah,
I'd have been on there by 2.5 hours.
Well, why didn't I think about it? That other old truck out there, you can set that.
Well, now, if you want me to use
and
that,
no,
I
didn't want to.
What I want to do, I just want to get it cut for you.
But I just didn't think about it.
But I want to, you know, I want to do it like told Willie. I want to do it right, and Willie knows it because I work for a man that's very peculiar. If you haven't met him, sometime you ought to go down that way and accidentally just step in there and meet him.
Yeah.
And you'll find out what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, everything, like his lawnmowers, he got two of them. And you get on one of them, they got to be blowed off sand. Everything got to be cleaned off them things before he puts them back in that store.
Yeah.
He's just out of the way. So, I'm like Willie. I'm peculiar about my things I got, too, because I try to take care of them, and it's the only way to have them, things to take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
And these days, it'll show each up and having them put in the hospital, as we call it.
Oh, it's
just kidding. So, that's the reason yesterday, and I wanted to satisfy you, and I wanted myself to feel at ease, because, you know, it's bad you get out there and say, now, suppose I'd burn that man more up or something like that. Then you get all, I don't know, upset. And that blame more, though. It worked on me there for a while.
Yeah.
I had to sweat it out. I finally got where it'd do pretty good, but you raise up, maybe it'd get too high.
Yeah.
And you mash it a little bit too much, it'd fall completely down on the ground.
Yeah.
I said, boy, that's disgusting. It just
yeah, it is disgusting.
So Willie said there's something wrong in there somewhere. Your adjustment's in the lift.
Yeah.
It, even with your hand on it, ought to hold it at one position all the time.
Right.
Not unless you, you know, just up and mash it up and down.
Yeah.
So I'd take my fingers and stuck my nail up in that little crack under there.
Oh, really?
And I'd hold it a certain way. I had my arm resting on your seat there.
Yeah.
You know, that rust and all on there.
Yeah.
Boy, that got tiresome. I said, great gosh.
Yeah.
And I couldn't keep it at one place. So. And this is a talk in the... It's the time I was out there. Now, I don't, like I say, I don't remember when I went out there. And so Willie said, oh, well, you didn't do nothing if you cut from here over yonder that oak tree. Because ain't nothing out here cut. And you know, he's all the time pulling some kind of tree. And it, Martin's boy was there. I said, oh, Willie, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't out to cut the food now. My business talking. He said, well, did you mean to say you went over yesterday? I said, wait a minute now. I didn't go over that after I knocked off down there. I said, it's late. I mean, it's close, 6:30. It was,
yeah,
wasn't it, when I got here? But I went down to the store and talked with everybody a little while. We drank a drink. I headed out on over here.
Oh,
yeah, I know it.
Long.
Yeah. But you know, you can do a lot of work now if you knock off. I mean, for the sun, yeah. This year, new time, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind that where it ain't too hard, like a drilling post, put fence in, you know, where you have to drill down flint rocks, mm-hmm. And that's what I have to do a lot. Mountain, you get tiresome.
Oh, yeah.
But such as that mower, that tractor, that ain't nothing. Though.
Well,
I don't consider that being too much work.
No,
now, I mean, if you get your lift big,
yeah.
And your tractor's good, you can stay at track one finger. I can stay it all right. It wasn't bombing.
Yeah.
It's a doggone keeping that mower adjusted at one height.
Yeah.
I told Willie, Willie said, well, now you don't have tough grass on one round and tender grass on the other. So you don't leave them seed. I said, well, I didn't want to do it. That's when I told Mr. Miles that was a shaggy job. And that's about the worst I ever done.
Well, now, that. What, you got them equipment over there.
Where's that at?
Where you've been mowing.
Oh, yeah, that's the littlest. That's one of the more big 7.5-foot jobs.
Oh.
I get right upside the fence, just like that door there. I get right up there. Of course, I put it in low gear. And I make my first round, see, and I pull all the stuff out from the fence. I mean, I clean the fence as I go around.
Yeah.
And then when I get 5 rounds, see, out, then I start taking lands. Cutting it off land, I turn right back around just like that all the time. Till each land gets cut. And when I cut out another land, I go on over and cut out another land. Keep on till the pasture's done. We don't mow. He don't believe in that, taking the whole pasture in. He says, that's useless. I asked him why. He said, well, I tell you why. He says, rain stops you. Then you got to circle around the field. If it outgrows you, and this year looks a lot better. When you cut each side out, see, you've got so much of your pasture all done from fence to fence. And it's something to think about. A lot of people, they just get in the hole, just take the whole field around and cut it till they cut it out.
Yeah.
It's all right if you're cutting hay. It'd be all right cutting hay. Because, see, you can go around, you can cut, say, 10 rounds, and you won't take up that 10 rounds, see. You just cut 10 rounds, and the rest of your grass is standing green if it does rain, see.
Yeah.
Well, you only, and if it rains to waste that grass, see, you're only losing that much grass. That's a wise thing, that. Don't go and cut out a whole field at one time, see, and look to take it up. You can't do it. Well, now like it was before it started raining, it'd be a good time. That's a good hay weather there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You, there wasn't no rain, and I was hoping a lot of people would start making hay where we'd get some rain. I'd be doing like you. I'd leave out everything to get some rain, but it wouldn't rain.
Well, now, when you, what's the tractor you got over there,
the
big H?
It's a H. It's a small H, but it's got oversized pistons. But it pulls, though. When I first went to work, I said, well, I know me and this thing ain't going to get along too good. You're not pulling that big a mower. But shoot, and I got out there, and that thing, it eat it up. And he don't play about putting it up or down. He puts it one place, see. He got a ruler, and he'll measure it on flat dirt. And if he wants it 7 inches, that's where I cut it. I don't mess with it.
Oh.
The only thing about it, he tells me, if it gets too rough or gets in rock, it won't go over. Lift it up some. A lot of times I wouldn't even do that because he's peculiar. He sets his own stuff. I'd rather boy stay out of it. I'd just take it easy, go through that, go around the rocks or something, keep him adjusting it. The last 2 years, I've had to do it on account of so many rocks, you know. I'd have to get out and maybe make 2 rounds. But I'd always count the threads from where I set it. And then when I get in a level pasture, I'd set right back the same many threads as he had set.
Yeah.
And if he said anything about it, see, I'd say, Mr. Ivers, it's the same place you are. And a lot of times he'd die in the world. He'd go get his ruler. I said, yeah, still on 7 inches. See, but he won't apologize. No, man, he'd just even spit in your face and apologize. He's just out of way.
He never wrong.
Never wrong.
Uh-oh.
He's always right. And when he's wrong, he's right. Oh, Willie told him when I went there, he said, Frankie, if you agree to everything, if it's wrong, all right. You get along with him good, and I found out it would.
You've been there.
Because,
yeah.
Yes, I've been there, I think, about 5 or 6 years now. And he says anything, you know, I agree. If it's wrong, I agree right on. You wind up, it's wrong. I still agreed about it, so he don't say nothing about it. So I go on. But I hate to do that, you know, because that's quarantine lying now. Because you come up a lot against a lot of things. He turn around. Ain't that right, Brian? You know, I hate to just come right out and say, yeah, that's right, when the people on the outside are saying it's wrong, and they know it's wrong, see. But he thinks it's right. He's just that away. Because they got money, see. And they figure if there's any coming back, they can back it up for that money. That's the only thing I think about. Because you cross him, you just done the wrong thing, because he's just that away. He'd take it to court, because he figures he got enough money to win over. You wasn't getting in trouble with him. He's hot-headed, but he's good. He's real good. He makes me mad sometimes just to walk off and leave him and not even give him no 2 weeks' notice and get him another man. But then you get things. He'll do you a favor or anything like that. And I always tell him, the one time he told me something when I knew it was wrong, something I'd said. I said, Mr. Albert, I think you're wrong. I think you got somebody else messed up with me. Oh, I heard you say it. I said, okay. And boy, if I hadn't thought them all, I'd have told him to take that job and get just as far as he could get. But I happened to think of her. She always tell him not to, you know, try to get in trouble with anybody. Because, you know, it's always, he might get in deeper than what he intended to and might get in trouble, you know. So I said, well, I'll let him go on. But, man, that worried me. Every now and then I'd be out there working, you know, and that thing would come across my mind. See, I'm just good, man. Just tell him, I'll give him 2 weeks. He can get somebody else to work. But he's that kind of man. But I grew up under him, and I know them they're self-looking out people, you know. They believe they're right, and nobody else is right. They're right. You got to be wrong, so. I stayed that long on what I figured I would, because he had a cousin, that G.P. Lighton. I know you know him, and yeah, he'd taken it the year before I went to see. And Mr. Irwin, he'd eat him up. I worked with him during the time, and anybody around here would be able to step without observing would be G.P. because they're so much alike with equipment and they all don't smoke on the shed and all that stuff, you know. Just the same way. I said, man, you can sure see the Zetra in you, man. He said, shoot, I ain't that much kin to our Zetra. I said, you can see it. You just like him. He says, how's that? I said, well, you talk like him. You do things like him. You always talking to people about cigarettes and you smoke under your own shed yourself. I said, now how you figure anybody else to heed to something like that when you go under other people's shed smoking cigars? I got him one time. He always deviling me. See, I smoked up until last year. And he'd always get me. Well, one time he had down at the house, propped up on the post, and he had a cigar lit. I said, all right, Jeep. I said, get out from under my shed. I don't want no smoking under my shed. He says, there ain't no danger in a cigar. I says, that's fire, buddy. Now, if it's a pipe, it's still fire. I said, you just get out from under my shed. I said, that's the same thing you told me. I'm going to treat you just like you treat me. So that broke it up. But you know, there's a lot of people figure a cigar ain't as much dangerous. It's still fire, right on. If it drops in that dry hay, it's fire. So I said, well, it'd be anything. I've seen people come up smoking pipes, you coughing about. And there's not near as much dangerous in a pipe as there is in a cigar or cigarette at all. Because as long as the pipe stays straight, you ain't even get no fire out of it. But them cigars, now he says, well, you won't set nothing fire a cigar. And I said, boy, you don't bet that. I said, because you'd lose. Cause I've seen a lot of cigars carry a lot of fire. And he just figures, you know, because he lets his go out, and he chews them almost up to the light, they all go out. Well, that ain't the truth. Because a lot of people can throw a match down, and it goes out. Some people throw it away, and it stays lit. I know that nephew, that young one, boy of Monroe's, dumped a cigarette out after he, a match out after he lit a cigarette. The old thing turned right up and started burning. I said, see that, Dennis? I said, that's what caused the fire.
Yeah.
And he run over. God. He said, well, I'm cranky. I didn't notice that. I said, well, you ought to notice that. I said, that's what caused fire.
You throw it in a trash box, a waste paper bag. You do the same thing.
A lot of people don't think that, though.
I had to do that way. I
wasted paper basket. Yeah, I've seen pictures, you know, where people had accidentally, you know, throw a
match in there. Of course, it's easy to waste paper basket because you can just throw your coat on the waste paper basket.
I run with it outside. Well, Mr. Miles.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, Frank, I don't know how you shift from that old H, you know, that's got much more power than this little track, and there's more, you see, it hasn't got any power.
Well, that track out there ought to have as much power as that H. Oh man, that thing pulls good.
No.
If you could set your motor one place and leave it there, like Willie said, that tractor's gonna ease off. It'll run one certain way all the time.
Yeah.
And that tractor there, that little old Chamel, I used to drive beyond at Cockles out there on that ranch east of Arch. I used to work on it. Just to see it. That's size. Oh, it's way smaller than that now. It pulled a 5 foot bush hog. It pulled him. 6 foot Lillistons till he got the first lift type bush hog. And I tell you, lift on it would do sort of like yours, but it'd make a noise, you know, like that, and make you look around. Well, I look around a lot when I'm pulling them pull type mowers on the ground. I look back a lot because, see, I'm standing up. I can stand up or sit down. And I stand there, see, and just go all day. Just don't hear nothing but the roar of that old lake, you know. And just eating that grass down. I like to do it. But anyway, he got a 5 foot bush hog. That's when the bush hogs first come out. He got a 5 foot put behind a little CA because he couldn't take a six. They had six, but he said he didn't believe CA pulled six. But it walked with that little old five. And it's just a CA. It's it might have been a size bigger than your Ford out there. I don't believe it was much bigger than that Ford. Well, you know, if you know anything about Chamel tractors, I don't know how it goes. I don't know where a D's next to the CA or where it's taking the CA or what. But
I don't know either. But that's got much more power. I know that, and then that Lillistan mower, you see.
Well, that Lillistan mower, it's 7 foot. It's got the six blades to it.
And you can tell where you've been on that.
You know, you put it down out there at Bahir, and it's a lot different than cutting that pangola. If it is high.
Because
your Bahir is just tough. If you let it run, it's just tough.
Let me tell you. Last week, when we was over here talking, I went on out here and mowed a half dozen rounds. It had been raining on it, and it was tender, and I just went along there and thought of something else. You know, if y'all could have got to it while it was wet.
Yeah, well, Willie, I understood Willie say you didn't want to cut while it was wet. But it cuts good. It makes you more kick up worse under the bottom, but it cuts better when it's wet.
Oh, you can wait half an hour to see after 2 inches rain go out there. And,
well, your grass, your grass got a lot of water in it.
Don't y'all start setting up what I... I'm not out with that
rock.
See, I haven't had all
this
experience.
Well, I've done a lot of it. Not bragging on it, but I've done a lot of it. But, you know, it's like this. You can't go on another man's job. You coming off of another one. And everybody don't work alike. And that's the reason I told you. I said, well, Willie told me. He said, now you be sure. And you check the oil and the gas and the water in that radiator.
Yeah.
You check that. More because you don't want to go over there and foul up something. I said, well, naturally, Willie, I'm not going over there. Grown man, as much business as I've done. I said, naturally. But I appreciate you telling me because if I was to forget something, you know, like water or something and that run hot, but I don't think I would. I agree with it because that's the reason I asked you, was it ready to go the other day?
Yeah.
If I come out here, would it be ready to go?
I'll give my last night out there with it. You tell me about what you tell me about cleaning out that corner. She knows she can't handle tractor, but she knows what you're talking about.
What's that?
Where it had stacked up in the corner there. In the corner there, where the grass is stacked up, and you got your Lillistan back there.
Oh, you mean where I sprayed the fences?
Yeah.
And then cleaned it back?
Yeah.
Well, what we do up there, see, what I do.
Yeah.
Now, this man that was hired here to Mr. Boy, I went there. They just you know, he just got in that mood. He didn't care about throwing it to the fence.
Yeah.
Well, when I started, you see, there's one side of your mower, if both of them's covered in, one side pulls and the other throws.
Oh.
Well, you see, it's just like y'all's mower. One side pulls and the other side throws. See, it's got to because, you know, your propeller's going like this.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you take like some of these 6-foot bush hogs, which he could have his, I guess. He might have to cut out that plate. Would be open on one side,